MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Qatar Airways has acquired a 25% stake in the South African regional carrier Airlink, all part of its ambitions to expand operations further across Africa. The investment in Airlink, which flies between 15 African countries, if I'm not mistaken, will improve a code-sharing partnership between the two carriers. I'm in conversation now with Airlink's Chief Executive Officer, Roger Foster. Roger, welcome to you. This partnership then with Qatar, how is it aligning with your long-term growth strategy?
Hi, Jeremy, and thanks very much indeed for having me on your program. Well, firstly, we're very excited to have Qatar on board. You know, this is the world's best airline by multiple measures at the moment, highly revered, highly accredited, an organization of integrity that had vision, that had the capability of implementing its vision, the determination to do so, and I mean, now it's really the best airline in the world. So in terms of having a partner, a strategic equity partner, we're absolutely thrilled that Qatar has seen fit to take up this 25% stake in Airlink. And how does it enhance our ability to realize our own aspirations for Africa? Well, I think that that's got to be a conservative step-by-step approach. You know, we're delighted to have a 25% equity stakeholder in the business, such as Qatar. But at the same time, we have to carry on plodding our own way through the implementation of our strategy. As it is at the moment, you've mentioned that we operate 15 countries in the sub-region. We're operating 85,000 flights per annum at the moment. And this gives us the propensity, the ability from a balance sheet perspective to be able to continue upping our game, improving on that, expanding our network into destinations that we don't currently operate within our portfolio, but at the same time, densifying everything that we do, so we call it an organic development into the various routes that we currently offer services on.
As far as Airlink is concerned, is the balance inevitably going to move more northwards towards Africa and other destinations rather than local?
Well, we see our domain as sub-regional for now, so Southern Africa, SADC, and you know we're already starting to venture into a little bit of East Africa with services to Nairobi and Dar es Salaam and the like. But the tie-up with Qatar will probably give us a larger presence in Central Africa. I think it's well known that they already have a relationship with Rwanda in Rwanda, Kigali. And, you know, not to say that that's definitely part of what's on our radar screen in the short term. We have the traffic rights to Kigali. We have the traffic rights to Kinshasa. We have the traffic rights to Brazzaville, to Libreville, to Ghana, Accra as well. So this will probably, on a step-by-step approach, allow us to expand the network into these destinations. But we don't have ambitions at this point in time of becoming pan-African. I mean, that's not part of something which is realizable, and I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think, you know, a step-by-step approach. Let's focus on what we're doing, be the best version of ourselves that we possibly can be, make sure that whatever we do in the region is to the best of our ability, and that goes about enhancing the frequencies of service to key destinations throughout our network and making sure that we are providing connectivity, especially to Qatar, but not limited to Qatar. You know, we've got 35 other commercial airline relationships, and the aim here is as we bolster Airlink and improve our position in the sub-region, we also want to enhance the connectivity that we already enjoy with those 35 airline partners.
You will concede, though, Roger, that the phrase pan-African airline does have a nice ring to it, though.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Jeremy. It does. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I think that what we've seen in the way of Airlink's performance, you know, pursuant to what happened with COVID and the structural change of the domestic and sub-regional aviation industry, where we saw so many airline failures, I think we've been able to capitalize on our position and bear in mind that, you know, the acquisition of a portfolio of destinations within a network is not something where you click your fingers and you've got that in place overnight. This takes years and years of strategic visioning and then the implementation over time. So what we have in the way of a very, very powerful network, you know, operating over 50 destinations, more than 60 routes within the sub-region, you know, that's taken almost a lifetime to aggregate. So a pan-African vision, as I say, you know, you can dream it and you can think it, you can implement it, but, you know, step by step. I think Air Link has been built on responsible premises over the history book. We've never got ahead of ourselves to the point where we can trip over our own feet. And that's what we intend continuing doing, you know, build it, but build it responsibly, viably, and in a sustainable way so that whatever we put in place becomes a legacy going into the future.
So, Roger Foster, let's do the money dance now. I will ask you the question, what's the deal worth? You will very eloquently segue to something else, and I'll come back with a follow-up question saying, how long did the deal take to put together?
Well, let's start with that one because that's the easy one. The other one is impossible. So, transactions of this nature don't happen overnight. And I can say that, the negotiations started in earnest probably 2 years ago. And the due diligence started around about a year ago and was concluded about 6 months ago. So there was about a 6 month process of due diligence. And then subsequently, we've been working on documentation. And bear in mind that, you know, these are all, technically speaking, negotiations and conversations, and nothing is irrevocable until all of your conditions precedent have been concluded and the documentation has been signed. So we have signed the documentation. There are one or two CPs that are outstanding at the moment, but the process has taken about 2 years to get from where we began to where we are at the moment. And then in terms of the number part of it, you know, it's something that, you know, Air Link being a private company and given the fact that this is Qatar Airways, which is an organ of the state of Qatar, it's not something that we can divulge. But it is a material number from an Air Link perspective, especially recognizing the trauma that the whole industry has been confronted by, and Air Link has been able to navigate its way through those difficulties and position itself as it has done. As a comprehensive airline system throughout the sub-region, so much so that it has been alluring to the likes of Qatar to invest in our business.
Roger, what sort of edge do you think this gives you over Safair, which also is not only an arch rival, but also has regional aspiration?
I think that we see the airline business models as being different, but as being converging. If we look at our airline business model, we are premised on the network and on connectivity and on having reach into all the corners of the earth through the airline partnerships, through our relationship with IATA, the clearinghouses, the settlement plan systems, and so on. And in order to get into that position, you have to be in the global distribution system, and you have to be in a inventory hosting system, inventory being the seats on every flight multiplied in Air Link's case by 85,000 a year in advance, because that's the range of the system. You can sell tickets a year in advance, and you have to be able to deliver that inventory into the global domain. Now, where we have airline partnerships, those partnerships operate in the global domain, and you take a partner the likes of Qatar, it has a reach into markets which become the source markets for Air Link destinations within our sub-region, and they do so better than practically most others are able to do that. Now, in the case of Fly Safair, traditionally their model has been what we refer to as a point-to-point model. They haven't relied so much on connectivity to the extent that we have, and they sell to, you know, the traveling public that needs to go from Johannesburg to Cape Town or from Cape Town to Johannesburg, and not to destinations beyond either of those two. Whereas everything that we do is about picking up a customer in a source market like Cape Town and then flying them either on our own system or on the systems of our partner airlines to another destination, be it within the sub-region or be it anywhere else in the world. Now, yes, they aspire to operate in the region, and does Safair aspire to operate in a point-to-point model in the region, or does it aspire to becoming a connecting airline like we are, a connecting service provider, what we call a network airline service provider? So we'll wait and see. What this does is it gives us some power in terms of our relationship with Qatar, which has already been very strong and well-established. It's a reliable relationship. We've got the other relationships, as I say, but let's just focus on the Qatar relationship. It gives us access to the Qatar network in a comprehensive way, and it enables us to sit with Qatar and figure out strategically key points in the sub-region that need to make connection with their services which we will then endeavor to do to make sure that our flights connect with theirs and that theirs connect with ours. But they also connect the dots of our network to the dots of their network in a comprehensive way to create a matrix system of destinations served both by our network through our hubs, Johannesburg and Cape Town, as well as their right. hub, which is Doha, and how Doha connects all the other points of their network to those points within ours and theirs in Africa.
And I am going to leave it there, Roger Foster. Out of time, I'm afraid, but thank you very much indeed for the explanation. That's the Chief Executive Officer of Airlink, Roger Foster.